Sunday school here.
Need to tackle the word, right?
We are gonna glorify God right here. And he'll quicken our mortal body and he will save us from those concussions.
That's right.
Folks, let's pray. Mike, will you pray?
Father, just thank you for another opportunity to gather in your name, Father, and just to learn the word, Father, and to just learn more about you, Lord, what you're doing for us and what you've done for us. Father, we just want to thank you for the people that are here, and we will give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Well, I guess we're still talking about overcoming. It must be important to God. We wouldn't have brought it up so much. I'd like to start by saying that the word overcome also means to conquer. And it's in the overcoming, that Christ's victory is revealed. His victory is done, it's complete, but it's revealed in our overcoming through him. And he's conquered. He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have conquered the world." And he, what was that one where it says all the time? Christ, Jesus came conquering and to conquer. I just love that saying. He's going to conquer and conquer and conquer and conquer until every single thing, every single person, every single mind, every single nation has submitted to his love, you know, to be more than a conqueror. He said, we're more than conquerors. Yes. That's to gain a surpassing victory.
That's all conquered now and still to conquer right at the king.
No, I'd love you to ask me that before one time. I'd love to hear it.
I'll have to get the music, because I got the booklet of all those songs that David Hawson knows all around the world that produced.
Great. That. We are preeminently victorious in and through Christ. Only through Jesus, through his finished work. He's conquering and to conquer, and we're just going along for the ride.
Amen.
Christ in us. Get the hope of glory. Well, do you want to go on, or do you want to say a few more things about the second death? We didn't quite get through Oscar's.
Do whatever you want to do.
Well, I want to know. Where did we leave off?
She has a question.
Babe.
Where are we?
We are in Revelation chapter 2, and we've been talking about verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And that's how we got into the lake of fire and brimstone, because that's the second death. Okay? Buddy, do you know where we are? You always know. Where we left off.
On this?
Hmm?
On
We went to 21.
We was at...
in Matthew 8:21.
We was in Hebrews, and then we came down to Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then... Yeah, I thought we stopped in Matthew. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so too. And let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just read through
there.
What
did you mean by that?
I think we're going to find that out today.
Oh, okay.
The second death, Matthew 8:20-22, in King James Version. And Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I hope his father was dead at that time. He wasn't just going to go and bury him alive. Anyway, I can only assume. 8:28. 22. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Okay.
That seems so harsh.
Anybody have some insight into that? I didn't even go back and take a peek at
you
that.
You want me to say something?
Yes.
Okay. What Jesus basically is saying is, if you didn't have him as your Lord and Savior, you were already dealing in the realm of death. See, when Adam sinned, he put all mankind in the realm of death. You know, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And he put all mankind into the realm of death. And, you know, when he said to when that man said to him, suffer me to go and bury my father, you know, he said, well, let the dead bury the dead. And he said, you need to come and follow me, is what he was basically saying. And because he is life, and, you know, they're already in the realm of death. They just don't know it. Because if they don't know him as their Lord and Savior, they really aren't dealing in the realm of life. They're dealing in the realm of death. That's what it is. So they're already dead. They just ain't laid down yet.
I have, we all have a friend who used to come here.
Yeah.
And she just wouldn't, she was not into death. Mm-hmm. If you had, a big old a funeral and a big old this and a big old that. She laid very little importance into that, to going in. She, yes, rejoiced that person is now with God and everything, but it just didn't do a lot for her. And I see in a lot of other people more of that than I have in me. That I have very seldom, if the only time I visit a cemetery is when I'm putting somebody in. I don't go, every week, once a week, twice a week. And some people do, and whatever is fine for them is fine for them. But I don't go to a cemetery because they're not there. Mm-hmm. They're not there. They're with, it says to be absent from the body, it is to be present with the Lord. And in some ways, yes, we have some sorrow at losing, that person that we know in the flesh. But we should be happy. If they were in pain, they are no longer in pain, and they are in the presence of God. They're not only in his presence. He says, I'm going to give you to come up here and sit with me in my throne. They're up on God's lap. I'll tell you what, if I got there, if I was on my way out, don't bring me back. I'll be fine where I'm going.
You have to be considerate, though, of those that are
grieving. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yes.
This woman that I wrote, the pastor, he was a pastor when I got saved, and Betty's family all know him. And I wrote about him and shared about him, because when I first got saved, he was the pastor that I knew, then Brother Eddie. And I went to see her and took food just this past week, just to visit with her. Mm-hmm. I just felt to do so. And she said, they were married 60 some years. And we were sitting just talking, and the spirit of his presence just filled that room. Mm-hmm. And she broke down, and I began to praise God, and she began to cry and sob. And she said she had not been able to cry. Mm-hmm. And she said, I needed this. And she just, sobbed. And we keep in touch with her. But they're grieving the presence, and has no doubt where he is.
Exactly.
But still, you're going through that process and that, of grieving. She gave me a thing that she had saying, these are the things do not say to people. Oh, he's in a better place. It's a whole lot of things not to say to people that have lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. And I know my nephew, when he's little, when my dad died, and they went to the cemetery, and I remember my sister saying, that's to him, that's where grandpa, he was pointing at the grave marker in the grave, and he said, he was only like four or so, he said, I thought you said he was with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, said that. And so then you got to explain to them about the body and the spirit and that, which God has given me things to share, you know, with them. Because we say things and kids don't understand. Yeah. Not just kids, but some
of
us. A lot of
times we don't understand.
No.
Me.
We say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to be truthful, sometimes we don't always understand everything, you know.
And he told her, the same little child, he was looking at the picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he started laughing. And we said, what are you laughing at? He said, I saw Grandpa, that big rock, peeking right out at me. And said, so you don't know what he's, what they've seen. He started laughing and said, I saw Grandpa. And he was peeking out behind that rock at me and looked at me, and I saw him and was laughing. So he don't know what people experience and what they...
Wait, you know, you said you never visit the cemetery. Now, I did all the time. And the only thing I ask is, why did you leave me so early? Because she died when I was a little girl. And I wasn't mad. I just wonder why she left me so early. I don't think I put it that way back then. You know, and she was young. She was only 49, I think, when she left. So, I think so. So I guess I was angry inside, but I only went when I was in trouble that I did something wrong. I didn't go to church. I didn't, you know, my mother or my sister. My sister took over for my mother when she left. And so I would, even now, today, I'll say, I think I'll talk tittle. And you know, not knowing that she wasn't there. And so it took me a long time, and I still don't know. I'm gonna be cremated, I think. but we're talking about hot now, and I'm gonna be cremated. It's gonna be hot. So I don't know if I'm gonna be cremated or not.
You know what came to me while you were talking?
Pardon?
You know what came to me when you were talking was, you felt the need to go and talk to somebody who understood.
Yeah.
And in your own way, you were calling out to God. You were really talking to God. And you know, a time is going to come, or it won't even be in time, in the eternity, we will know the answers to all these things. And we all have people who leave us too soon, and we all have hurts and everything in our lives. But someday, we'll understand it. And you want to know something? It won't even matter. It won't matter anymore, because he's going to dry all of our tears, and there'll be no separation between us and any of those people. So, just relax.
I have a problem.
Well, anything that you don't understand, you just put that before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I don't understand. And if it's something that he wants you to understand at this point, he'll reveal it to you. If it's not, then he won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing about losing a loved one, if it gives you comfort to go there, mm-hmm. as you know, this is the last place that you know their physical body was, that's up to you. You know what I mean? And you know, a lot of people do that. I mean, you know, some people will go and talk to their loved one once a week or once a month or every day. Some people do, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that makes them feel better to do that. And that's okay.
Yes.
You know, but it's like, you know, we know that Moses, you know, died not going into the promised land, you know.
Yeah.
And we know that.
Why? Why didn't he go in the promised land?
Because the law can never take you into the promised land. He was a type of the law. You know, Moses, if you realize what he did, there was one place where he was told, they were at the waters of Meribah, it was called. And when they were there, they were complaining about not having water and not having food and all that kind of stuff. And Moses prayed, and God told him to speak to the rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he took his rod and he smote the rock, and water came forth. And then he smote it a second time. Up in the New Testament, it tells you that that rock that followed them about in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. So what was he doing? He was smiting Jesus twice. He was only told to speak to the rock. He was disobedient. And because he was disobedient, he didn't go in to the promised land. He was able to go up in the, I think it was Mount Moriah or one of them, and see it. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't go in. Well, Joshua took him in. You know. Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land.
Oh, yeah.
Joshua's name means God the Savior. So God the Savior is the only one that ever can take you into the promised land. The law won't get you there. Moses was a type of the law.
And he brought us the law.
And the law is never going to get you there, and do's and don'ts is not going to get you there, but grace and faith will get you there through Jesus Christ.
As great as Moses was.
Yeah, but then let me finish the story here real quick, and I don't want to go too far, but I will be preaching a whole sermon here. But then when you realize that when Jesus took John and James and them up into the mountain, Peter, I can't think it was John, James, and Peter, I think that's who he took up into the mountain, what was called Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
They were transfigured, Jesus was transfigured before them. In other words, the inner light and glory of God shone forth to the outside.
Yes.
And they said his raiment became like white, you know, just white and glowing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing that. And there appeared unto him two spirits, two Elijah and Moses. And what that's a type of, it's a type of the law and the prophets, mm-hmm. you know. Now we know Elijah was taken up.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't see death like we do. I mean, he was translated into the heavens because he was taken up in a chariot of fire, you know. And so, but anyway, Peter saw that, and right away, Peter, with his religious mind, says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles." Man always wants to build a tabernacle. So one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And a voice came out of the heavens and said, "This is my beloved son." It said, "Hear ye him." See? And it said, and all of a sudden, it says, they saw no man except Jesus only. Mm-hmm. And that's where the focus has to be on Jesus Christ. See? Right. And, you know, it was good for them to be there because they realized that there was a transition of from the law, the prophets, unto the fulfillment of everything in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There was three different realms being shown there, you know. And they got a chance to physically see that. And they weren't supposed to come down and tell anybody about that. Jesus told them not to say anything, you know. But I'm think they did, because we read about it today, you know. But that the word that when it says transformed there is the word metamorpho. He was metamorphosed in front of them. Jesus was.
Yeah.
The inner spirit came forth to the outside where they could see the glory, the real glory of God, see? And that's like if you go to Romans, the 12th chapter, it tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes,
and the word transformed there is the word metamorpho, the same word. In other words, when your mind is renewed to the point where you're completely operating in the mind of Christ, you're going to have that same glory break forth out of you, because it's the glory of God. And he said that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, the three realms of what God is revealing, you know, to the church, his good will, his acceptable will, and his perfect will. I preached a sermon on that one time, is, you know, about the, what those were, you know.
But God did so much. And Jesus, the short time he was here, well, we got a whole book of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
why?
Yeah.
Did he never come back?
Well, he did. He's inside of you right now.
No, I don't mean that. I mean,
no.
Physically.
In the flesh.
Well.
Not like he was when he was born.
Yeah.
And grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't see him anymore until he comes, the second coming.
Well, the scripture says that the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things. So,
well,
there's going to come. What's going to really happen is the same thing that happened with Jesus when he was asked by one of his disciples, "Show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient." Well, what did he say? "Have I been with you so long a time, and you never knew me?" And he was telling them, "You've seen the Father because you've seen me. The Father's in me.
Yeah.
You've seen the Father." Now, let me tell you this. In Romans 8 chapter, it says, all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's the word manifestation mean? It means to take the lid off. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take the lid off of the sons of God in the sense that their glory is going to be seen. And you know what? And it'll be to the point where when they've seen you, they will have seen Jesus. Because you're part of his body. You're part of the body of Christ. When that glory totally breaks forth to the outside. Does that make sense to you?
That what?
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
That the glory inside of you. It says, I reckon that this suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, in us. And it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits, in other words, all of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not a son, Jesus, the sons of God. He was the firstborn, scripture says, among many brethren. You're the many brethren, you know. You're the part of the body of Christ, see? Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kathy, I don't mean to get way off on it.
I'm done.
But don't you think, you know, you see Christ in everything that's on this earth?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, I mean, he's coming all the time.
Constantly coming. See, the word, one of the words for coming is the word parousa.
What?
Parousa. And you know what that means?
No.
Present. You know, when you might have had this happen to you when you was in school. I know it happened to me. doubt if it happens nowadays. When they call a roll in the morning when you went to school, how did you answer?
Present.
That's how we used to answer. They'd say, Oscar Bowling. You'd say, present. So what was I saying? Perusa. I'm here.
Yeah.
And let me tell you one other thing real quick, and this, maybe this will help you. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to them numerous times. Okay? And what he was doing, because they were still young in faith, he was playing peekaboo with them. That's what he was doing. He was playing spiritual peekaboo with them. What he was doing was he was saying, now you see me, now you don't. Now you see me, now you don't. Now you see me, now you don't. Well, what are you reinforcing when you do that? You're saying, I'm here whether you see me or not. That's what you're telling a kid when you hide around the corner and go boo. And they laugh.
Just like
and
grandma.
You do it two or three times. And then after a while, they get where they don't worry about whether you're around the corner because they know you're there. They're going to jump out any minute and say boo to me. You know what I mean? Well, that's what Jesus was doing. He kept, it's like when, I guess, was it Thomas? I think it was Thomas, Downing Thomas. Was Thomas?
Downing Thomas.
Yeah. Thomas, who said, I won't believe, because he wasn't there when Jesus appeared in the room to them. He wasn't there. He said, I won't believe unless I can stick my finger in the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jesus wasn't in the room. But later on, Jesus appeared in the room. And what did he say to Peter? What did he say to him?
He told him,
stick forth your finger and put it in the nail prints and put your hand in my side. What was he doing? He was telling him, I was here all the time. You just didn't see me. That's what I heard everything you said. I know exactly what you're just doing. I was right here with you, but you didn't see me. But he said, because you had to see me to believe, blessed are they that don't see me and believe, you know. But you know, when you realize what the things of God are so simple sometimes, it's almost kid-like stuff, really, when you think about it. A lot of it is, it's so simple, and we tend to make it complicated, because it's not very complicated. But, you know, that's why he said, except you become a little child, you can't see the kingdom, or you can't enter the kingdom, really, basically. In other words, you have that childlike faith where you just, you know, kids don't, they go happy, go lucky. They don't worry about tomorrow or 15 minutes from now. You know what I mean. Most kids, I mean, you know, unless they're in a real abusive situation or something. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. Sorry, Kathy, I've talked too much.
No. Okay, well, let's go on to the next thing down here. Romans 6:11-13. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness unto God. For though the law, or through the law, it's through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. That's the key to it all. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me.
It's on the last
so
page.
So when you show up, he last shows page. Up. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that second death talked about in Revelation, people must pass through the cleansing power of the lake of fire and brimstone. So that's the end of the story of the fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
At any rate. If we've died with Christ, and we're resurrected with Christ, and if we are, that's not, and if we're not sure we've been, that's even, so we know that we have been, we have died with Christ, and we have been resurrected with Christ. No one who's taking a breath on the earth today, whether he knows it or not, has died with Christ, and now lives in Christ. And is that, can you say that's a truism?
Say it again, I don't know exactly.
Even if there are millions of people who are alive on the earth today, don't know that they're alive in Christ.
That's right.
They are, whether they know it or not.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is that according to this word that we just read, they might have to go through that baptism of fire.
Yes. And But
we all have. See?
We do. Some of us have already. Some of us haven't yet.
See, that's like what John told. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water." This is John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. "I indeed, but there stands one among you mightier than I, whose shoe latch I'm not worthy to unloose." He said, and he said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And whether, like when you were baptized up there, physically baptized, didn't you feel like there was some change took place in you? I can see a change in you. I can see a big change in you, whether you see it or not. God's tenderized you a lot since then. I mean,
well, there's so many questions,
And there's nothing wrong with questions. Ask them. Ask them of the Lord. And wait and let him give you the answer.
Well, sometimes I feel, dumb.
Well, we're all dumb when it comes to with things of the Lord.
In relationship to God, there's so much we don't know. And there's no shame in that.
No.
But just like a child going to his father.
You know where you're going. I'm still saying, I so pray that he'll take me.
He will.
I know that I'm going to go where I'm going.
Yeah.
Or where I want to go.
There are years and years and years of indoctrination in your little brain that have to be undone. We all went through that. Mm-hmm. We all went through it. Little by little, the truth burns away the hay and the stubble, and the traditions, and the rules, and
the guilt.
The guilt, yes. Little by little.
I don't pick it up as fast as y'all do.
Well, you got to realize, we have been in a deeper word with the Lord for a long time. But I'll tell you what, when I first got saved, and I mean, I don't consider myself to be super intelligent. I don't consider myself to be super smart or anything like that. I'm probably maybe average or below average in intelligence a lot of times. I don't know. But when I first got saved, And I felt like I kept reading the word, I would just stop and pause, and I would get quiet and still, and I'd say, "Lord, I don't know what I just read. You got to teach me. You got to guide me." And see, that was before I even knew that the Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide you into all truth. See? And anything that things that you don't understand, just say to the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand this particular thing."
I'd be saying that every day.
Well, and say it every day.
Say it every day.
Say it every day. I mean, I said it for months while I was sitting reading the Bible. And you know what? It wasn't like I heard a voice say, "Well, it's this or it's that or something else." But I tell you what, when situations came up, all of a sudden that word would come up inside of me from the inside out. And it would even astound me sometimes the things that I found myself saying. I mean, you know, I've shared this before. I had a guy saying something to me one time, telling me all this stuff. He was trying to indoctrinate me into some other denomination or whatever, you know. And I'm listening to him, and I said, well, you know, I don't know about all that. And I didn't. I mean, I'm just being honest. I said, I don't know about all that. I said, but you know, I feel like this. And I started telling him something. And he stood there for a minute, and he says, well, what you just said, that's in the book of James. I hadn't read the book of James yet. I was still in the Gospels. I hadn't got that far yet, you know. But see, that spirit that inspired the book of James mm-hmm. was inside of me. Mm-hmm. It's inside of you. Mm-hmm. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, and he won't make you feel foolish, but he'll give you what you need to know when you need to know it. See? And now, I mean, you know, supposedly I heard this one guy say one time, I think it was supposed to be Carter, you know, that did all them things with a peanut, this guy named,
George Washington Carver.
Carver, yeah. He came up with tons of things, you know, that you could make out of peanuts, you know. And supposedly the story went, the track I read one time said, he asked God, will you reveal to me the secrets of the universe? And supposedly God told him, no, but I'll reveal the secrets of a peanut to you. And he did. And the guy came up with all kind of things. That, you know, all kind of things that you could make out of peanut oil and all that stuff.
They said that he locked himself in a room with nothing but a Bible and himself.
Yeah,
but, and that's where he learned all this stuff.
But the thing about it is that sometimes we want to know things that we don't need to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes what we need to know is, what do I need to know for today?
Today.
What do I need to know for today?
Who can
see,
I love
that's
today?
Me, I want to know now.
Well,
you know.
That's good, and that'll keep you keep you seeking him and asking questions, and that's a good thing. There's nothing
wrong with
that.
At night, when I read, you know, I'll pick up something, and, you know, I'll just open it up and start reading, and I don't know what I'm reading.
That's all right. It's going down inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will witness to whatever's supposed to be there.
But then I say it to my son, and he'll say, you're not ready. Forget, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll say, okay,
and God will bring the understanding
yes.
to you.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing here? When Mike and I first got together, mm-hmm. He came to church, and he wasn't saved yet. You know, he under duress, he would come. So this was, you know, well,
real duress.
I mean, he's kind of a latecomer. Anyway, he got a word. One of the first prophetic words he ever got here was from a guy who came and has never come back. But he told Mike, the Lord says unto you, you're a slow starter, but you're a fast finisher. And I think that word is for you too.
Mm-hmm.
You might have been a slow starter, but you're a fast finisher.
Yeah.
And so,
a lot,
you know,
of
whatever it is, however it's going, just relax in where God has you.
You know,
He's
going
to take
so.
Care of finishing that work that
well,
He has started.
Well, we all feel that way at times.
No, you don't.
Sure,
and don't
we do.
Compare
sure.
yourself to other people.
No,
exactly.
I mean,
you know, Anna,
you've got your path to walk, and God has His time of revealing things to you. Then accept that. And not look at others and think, well, so-and-so's got this, and they speak, and they do that.
Yeah.
No, just look at what.
Sometimes I think God said, oh, God, what does she want now?
Oh, no, he doesn't.
No.
No, he doesn't.
Well, see, you even make us laugh sometimes. That's good.
See, oh, that's
no.
what
he said that about all of us.
You think you're the only person asking?
Because I want to be like you. I look at him. He knows everything. You, when you talk, boy, my ears just, you know, give me some more.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because this word is
that
creating
means you're
a greater hunger in
you.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, when I'm not a big Bible reader, I'll be the first person to tell you that. And when I read a King James Bible, I go, it just rolls right. But you know, I bought a Message Bible, which is in pretty much plain English.
Yeah.
And I look at that, and all of a sudden, whatever I read, it jumps out at me like,
yes,
wow, that's really what it means. Because it, for me to understand it this way, I'm not going to do it. But to understand it in a different version, I understand it much more clearly.
Well, I understand it when Oscar gets up there. It's all over. Because every word he says goes in here.
She's good.
And
no Cushing's.
I've never had a minister or person in the cloth talk like he did. And that's what drew me more, is when I heard him, I told Debbie, I says, I love him. I said, he just knows everything. And every time he talked, boy, I was right there. Because I understood him. When the church that I went to, they just, you know, went on
intellectually.
I can tell you exactly why.
Why?
Because Oscar talks to you.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk at you.
He does. Pretty. He does. Boy, and these ears hear him too.
See, and yet.
And there's a difference. There is such a diametric difference.
Yeah.
When he's talking to, when someone's talking to you and talking at you.
Yeah.
I can remember, and this is one of my bad days. This is when I was in my bad days.
Last week.
Come on, we're here.
I can remember we went to a church, a bunch of guys, because we were all raised Catholic, and we went to this church just on a lark on a Sunday morning. And we were sitting at this church. You don't even know.
Go on, Jeff.
And this guy up on the platform, he's standing up there and he looks at me and he says, I'm talking to you. And he pointed at me and I'm going, like, what the heck is he talking about? And he started preaching at me. I said, whoa, I got to get out of here. But you know, he wasn't talking to me, he was talking at me.
Yeah.
And when someone's talking at you, it's confrontational. Mm-hmm. When someone's talking to you, someone's trying to teach you something.
Yeah.
Administer to you.
Yeah.
You know, I shared a sermon one Sunday night, and, you know, and when I shared this was years and years ago, and I got home and I got a call from back then at one of the elders' wives, you know, back then, and they're no longer here. I mean, they both went on to be with the Lord. But I got a call from her, and she says, was you talking to me, personal, I mean, because apparently it laid conviction on her, I was just sharing what the Lord gave me. I mean, I don't know who it goes to, you know what I mean? And I said, well, no, I said, I wasn't talking to you directly, you know, I said, but if the Lord ministered to you, you should listen to whatever he said. And, you know, it really was I believe that night I shared on something about a root of bitterness or something, you know, because she would get pretty, you know, and it wasn't for her particularly, but I just felt like the Lord gave me that word. And then he had also given me a poem, you know, about a root of bitterness, you know. Because scripture tells us to be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't rise up in us, you know. And a lot of times if we hold animosity or our hard feelings towards somebody, that'll turn into a ugly thing that'll choke the life out of us if we're not careful, you know what I mean. But it was funny because, you know, like when you're speaking, you're not directing it at, if you're sharing what the Lord tells you to share, you're not directing it at no particular person out there. You're just sharing what the Lord's telling you to share. And a lot of times he's talking to you personally.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
And you're sharing what he's saying to you personally at times. And if it ministers to everybody else, that's wonderful too. But then again, another time I spoke on a Sunday night and I thought, I got done and I almost apologized. I said, well, I hope this ministered to somebody out there. You know, I'm looking out there and I'm not getting any reaction, you know. And I don't look for reactions, but I wasn't getting any reactions. And I hadn't been speaking for a real long time. I came to church the next Sunday and a young teenage girl came up to me. And she said, Brother Oscar, I just want you to know that word that you shared, it was for me. And it about made me cry because I realized that the Lord loves people enough to where he'll minister to just one.
Oh, yes.
Just one, and that's okay. Maybe nobody else in that audience might not have heard a thing I said. Or they might have been thinking about cutting the grass or getting their cars oil changed or whatever they were doing. But the one that it was for, God. And you know, he said he would leave the 99 and go after the one.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times we have to realize that one is super important to him. You know, it's just as important as the 90 and 9. And you know, when the Lord speaks to you out of a sermon or out of a witness or a testimony or a song or whatever it is in church, that was for you that day. And maybe it was for other people too, but take whatever you get from the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, I received that.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Because when what you said about Oscar, what you were really saying was, it makes my heart burn within me.
Yeah.
And who was that? They recognized
Jesus.
It as Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, and just like when whoever that teenage girl was, no matter who wasn't hearing, it was her heart was burning inside of her. So when you feel that, recognize that you are hearing the voice of Jesus. He changes your heart. He changes your life. He changes your love. See, and that's when it becomes alive.
Yeah.
You know, this.
Your hunger.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I shared down at the mission one time. We used to go to mission, you know, once a month. The City Gospel Mission downtown, we did that for years. I mean, probably 30, 40 years we did that. And we'd go down there and we'd speak. And then we'd, you know, go in and serve food to the guys afterwards and stuff like that. But, you know, Buzzy, he told one of his friends that he went down to the mission that he worked with or something. He's probably not over here anymore, but he told one of his friends that you know, we went to the mission and he showed up. And that particular night I was speaking. And a lot of times, when I was over it, I would have a lot of people speak, just like I do out in the church, you know, trying to help develop people into a place of being able to speak. But anyway, you know, I don't even know what I shared that night. I think I might have shared about washing feet, you know, of what the Lord showed me about that. But anyway, Buzzy told me later on when he seen that guy at work, he said, you know, he said, when I was sitting there, it was like Jesus was talking to me. And I thought, praise God, that's who should be talking to you anytime anybody gets up there. It should be Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what it's all about, you know. And I can't say that happens with me every time I get up there. I don't know who receives it and who doesn't. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get down from up there and I think, well, did anybody even hear what I said today? You know what I mean?
You always say to us,
yeah,
just say what the Lord gives you.
Right, and that's what you got
to
do.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the defining things that ever happened to me in my life is when you asked me to speak down there.
Sure.
And I went down there, and I was scared to death. I had never spoken in front of people in my life, and I'm down there. And I we always gave an altar call, you know, and nobody came up. And we're walking out of the building, and some guy comes up behind me and taps me on the shoulder and said, "You know, when you first started talking, I knew you were speaking to me."
Yeah. And see, that's the neat thing, and that's
I mean, you talk about changing my life. That changed my life because I realized then that
you've got something to do.
There's, you know, I need to watch what I'm doing. I need to be careful because I don't know how I'm affecting other people with what I say. But I obviously had something in me that moment that I was able to relate to.
What'd you say?
What, I don't have any idea what I had to say.
Don't you believe that?
My knees were shaking too much. I couldn't tell you what
couldn't hear what he was saying. God bless his fellow.
You think I oh Lord, I was scared to death that night.
My baby, my preacher man.
You're a very good speaker.
Yes.
Well,
God is so good to us.
Please.
God is so good to us.
Yes, He is.
He's just so good to us.
And I believe that anything that He gives to us, that He's teaching us or doing a work in us, is not just for us, it's for others.
That's right.
Because He blesses those, what we have learned, what we've, you know, went through. That time when I spoke on forgiveness and unforgiveness, and Savannah came, you'd ask me to share, and He'd given me that in the beginning of the week, in the middle of the week. I didn't even know she's even going to come to church. And then she said, "Are y'all going to church? Can I go with you?" And I said, "Yeah." And then when I got to speak, and she said, "Guys, yeah, you really," I said, "I didn't even know you was coming to church."
Right.
God gave me that in the middle of the week, and you asked me, and she said, "I was supposed to hear that." She.
Well, like they said, God's word never comes back.
It doesn't.
And whether you believe this or not, since you've been coming here, I've learned a whole lot from you.
Boy.
Yeah.
Authenticity.
Yes.
Well, you are an authentic person.
Well, when you came in this morning, Clyde says, "There she is," and to Josh out there. Well, Josh was looking for you to come.
Sure was.
Because he loves you, you know. And see, that's the thing. Sometimes we don't realize the impact that we have on people just being friendly to them or loving on them or whatever we do. God uses all kinds of things we say, things we do, and you know. And don't never shortcome yourself, you know, in the presence of the Lord, because He uses you just as much as He does everybody else.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll say this about all of you. When I came here, I was home. I myself has grown.
Oh, yes.
I get a branch every once in a while, you know.
Pretty
soon I'm going to be a whole tree.
I'm sitting here.
That's good.
God bless you, sweetheart. We love you so much.
Appreciate you. Yes.
God makes a flower bloom.
Okay, well, God, thank you for this lovely conversation that we had today. We have just ministered life to ourselves. And I will go out of here feeling so good. Lord, love you so much, and bless the service that's coming up. And next week we're going to talk about the hidden manna. We are done with the second death.
Yes.
Hidden manna.
Thank you, Jesus.
Study up, folks. I'm going to call on you.